43, I stand in awe. We stand in awe of our God and our Father. So let's stand as we sing this, please. 43. Beautiful chorus. Well, you may be seated, please, for now. Good morning. Good to see everybody here on an exciting day, a beautiful day. And next week is Palm Sunday, all the more exciting. And then we come into Holy Week, as we call it. So welcome. Glad you're here. Several announcements I need to make before we go on with our service. The three arrangements together down by the organ, those were given yesterday by the family of Don Clute. Donnie, as a lot of us knew him, his funeral was here yesterday. The one arrangement right above on this on the corner was brought by the family of Keith Rochadel. Is that close enough? Rochadel? Sorry. Be Jenna Miller's dad, and he passed away very unexpectedly this last Tuesday evening. It was, and his funeral was yesterday at Tyndall. So thanks, Jane and Gary, for bringing those. They would be brother and sister-in-law to Keith. So lots of prayers for both of those families during this time. Other announcements, couple things in the bulletin. Spaghetti Night fundraiser, that's this Wednesday night at the Legion Hall here in town for the care center. The funds will go towards purchasing a new stove for the kitchen. Well, that's pretty important, right? Yes. Right below that, you'll see next Sunday we'll have the offering box as usual. There'll be a special offering plate back there. If you would like to help, the women of the church are sponsoring this. Funds to help. They help with the children go to camps during the summer, Christian camps. So they had a real nice donation a couple years in a row, and that's sort of working its way down, so they're needing some help. It's a blessing to send our kids to church camp. If you are here on Confirmation Sunday, and you hear the faith statements, every year there's several of them in there that tell about that's the time when they came to know the Lord as their Savior. It was at church camp, so we're sowing seed into their lives by doing that. Vacation Bible School, some things, please pay attention to that. On the back of your bulletin, there's food sign-up sheets. I'm assuming those are back out there, that table with it. I guess I never paid attention. Where's Julie? Right here. Okay, it might be in that closet where the tables are, actually. I never thought about it till now. We'll try and get it out there after church, though. And let me see what else real quick here. So next Sunday, being Palm Sunday, then the children will be bringing in the palm branches. This is from about third or fourth grade on down. So the Sunday school teachers will help with that, having them out in the social hall. They'll come into the opening hymn, as we always do. Next Sunday night is our community Easter cantata in our sanctuary. Grace Lutheran is the host church this year, coordinating everything. That'll be at 7 o'clock. Hopefully you can come to that. Ladies, after church today, women of the church will have a meeting down in the Sunday school wing. So you can plan on that. And finally, this evening is our Fellowship of Christian Athletes banquet here in the old gym. We do that every year. That starts at 6 o'clock. You see some information there. You didn't have to sign up. You didn't have to buy a ticket or anything. If you want to come and join us, please do. You're more than welcome to. We have supper and just a great time tonight at 6 o'clock. Last thing. There's, Viberg, they always liked me to announce if they get some Christian movies over there. And there is one there this weekend and I believe next weekend too. It's called Jesus Revolution. So for all you that are my age and up, you know, in the 70s, there was the Jesus movement out in California when hippies by the thousands were coming to know Christ. It was quite a movement that spread in many ways. And so that's what this movie is based on. We saw it actually in Sioux Falls a month or two ago and enjoyed it. It's very interesting, too. And so that's at Viberg. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, as we have just stood in your presence, singing before your throne, we do stand in awe of you, of your majesty, your greatness, your power, your glory. Even though we're not in heaven yet, and we can only imagine all the worship that's taking place there, of all that have gone before us, and all the host of heaven, the angels by the millions. It must be very exciting and glorious before your throne. But Lord, we know that you are with us here on this earth. You are not absent from us for a moment. But you indwell us by the Holy Spirit of God. And you fill this sanctuary with your glory and your power and your majesty. And so we worship you together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we do, Father, we ask that you would move among us and touch each of our lives as only you can do. Fill us afresh with your Spirit today to overflowing. We ask that you'd minister to needs that are here in whatever way, physical, spiritual, emotional, whatever it might be, that we would leave here refreshed and strengthened just by being together in your presence today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 348. We're going to sing verses, 1, 2, 4, and 5. So let's stand as we sing this hymn. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Yes, and it is truly wonderful and marvelous. Tell those around you, greet them, be glad they're here today. Before you're seated, please. All right, we will have our sharing of joys and concerns here this morning. Several things I have written down. First, as I mentioned earlier, the family of Don Clute. If you came in a little later, these three flower arrangements here are in his memory. We had his funeral yesterday. This one right above, prayers for the family of Keith Rochadel. Sorry, Jenna. Jenna Miller's dad, and a very unexpected passing. He was just 64 years old. His funeral was yesterday in Tyndall. Caleb Pedersen. I had an announcement about Caleb on Wednesday night at church, a 25-year-old, be great grandson of Lorene Weidenbach, and has had extensive issues with ulcerative colitis, severe. I had a text this morning that. And last night, too, he's scheduled for surgery tomorrow in Sioux Falls. I'm not sure which hospital he's at, but probably to remove most of the colon, the way it sounds. So lots of prayers there. His wedding is 1 month away. So just all this is quite overwhelming, for sure, and they really need our prayers. Also, Jim Massey, who I was told this morning is in, well, it went on the prayer chain, I guess, too, is in the hospital. I don't know a lot of details there, so I won't go into that, but prayers for Jim. He lives over at Olivet, north of Olivet. Lee Heckenleibel is in the Guards, and he's going to be going to Germany for 2 weeks here pretty soon, towards the end of this week, for his annual two-week training in the Iowa Air National Guard, correct? Yeah, God bless you. And thanks to all the guys and gals, Jennifer too, they helped with the military rites at yesterday's funeral, and they often do. at these. That's a very important time at the cemetery, so thank you for what you do and how you serve in that way. Jerry was there too yesterday. Amber Cross's mom, her first name is Amy, and they live down in the Lincoln, Nebraska area. She had battled breast cancer and it had been in remission, and they received word this last week that that returned. So prayers for Amber's mom, Amy. And on that note, it is Brian Cross's birthday today. Happy birthday, Brian. Also, one other thing, and then I'll see what you have. Mary Lou Hofe had wanted me to share about a friend of hers from Trip, Vicki Wren, who had had a hip replacement years ago, and then infection came in that a couple years back, and she's been dealing with that, but praise the Lord, it sounds like they got that all cleared out of there. So thanks for sharing that, Mary Lou. I'll start on this side today since I got a hand up. Okay, this coming Friday is Marie Crick and Dean Vaith's birthday. All right, happy birthday, Marie. And Trent? It was Caleb Pressler's birthday this last Tuesday, same as Trent's. And we didn't get that announced last week, so all right. Happy birthday to Caleb. Yes, Harriet? Okay. Yes, I think Trace is going to say something about that. Today is Oliver Hollinsworth's birthday. Number two? Second birthday. Happy birthday, Oliver. That's exciting. All right, thank you. Okay, anybody else on this side over here? Yes, Diane. Okay, all right, thank you. Prayers for Marcia Shelsky, who's in stage 4 pancreatic cancer, doing chemo treatments. Okay, yeah, that's a serious one. Was there somebody? Jennifer. Raylan Taylor turned 11 last Monday. Happy birthday, Raylan. Okay, all right, let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for these birthdays, some this last week and this coming week and even some today. We ask your blessings upon these individuals. Lord, we pray for Marcia Shelsky. That's a serious diagnosis, as we all know, and we lift her up to you. We have many to pray for. Caleb Pedersen scheduled for that surgery tomorrow, very extensive the way it sounds. Lord, we ask for your healing power to be working mightily in these and many others in our midst and in our community who are in the battle against cancer in one way or another. Marvin Gehring, had one more treatment left he has. Thank you for giving him the strength day by day. Others that want to just be more unspoken, but you know who they are, who are in the midst of treatments. We lift them up to you, Lord. Those recovering from various surgeries, Jim Massey, we pray for him. Father, each of these, you know them in detail. We thank you for your mighty, mighty healing touch throughout their bodies and for the work that you do through the doctors and nurses and the surgeons that is so incredible, the gifting that you have placed within. We thank you for working all things together for healing in their bodies. We pray for comfort for Don Klute's family and Keith Rochadel's family, Lord. Others who've lost loved ones recently, thank you for ministering to them through these days and weeks that follow. I pray for Lee Heckenleibel, and as he serves in the Guards in Iowa and as he leaves towards the end of this week for a 2-week training in Germany, just be with him and all that he goes with over there. Keep him safe. Help them to learn a lot, to improve their skills. We pray for Mary and the kids in their absence. And Lord, I just pray that we would be able to reach out and help Mary in whatever way might be needed while Lee is away for the next 2 weeks. that whatever you put in our hearts, Father, how to do that. Thank you for our troops that so faithfully serve here at home and abroad, in the Guards and full-time Army and Navy and Marines and Air Force and all the branches. We are grateful for their service and thank you for watching over them each and every day. I pray for Amber's mom, Amber Cross's mom, Amy, with the news of the return of that cancer, something none of us ever want to hear. Lord, I lift up Amy and her husband Steve and the family, and thank you for giving them strength and walking with them through the journey that lies ahead. When we are weak, Lord, you are strong. You are the strength of our lives. Thank you for watching over them. I pray, Lord, for our state of South Dakota. We are blessed to live here. Thank you for those that serve in our state government so faithfully in Pierre, for guiding them this week as they come go back to wrap things up, leading by your Spirit, the senators and representatives and our governor. We pray on the national level the same, Father. Work in mighty ways. There's oftentimes things that just don't make sense to us. And we need your help. We need your divine intervention. We need revival across this land. And every day we lift that up, and every day by faith we thank you for what you're doing behind the scenes that we don't even know. Lord, watch over those that have to work outside always, whether it's farming with calving, lambing, feeding cattle, whether it's on the highways in the removing the snow and the ice, or in the manufacturing businesses, whatever it might be, the school bus drivers, that you keep all safe. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, what do you know? I forgot to write my scripture down in my bulletin. It hasn't been too busy, really, has it? But I can find it. Romans 10, verses 12 and 13. In a moment. Verse 12. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's stand and we'll sing the doxology, please. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And so, Father, we do praise you. For yes, you do, as I just read, you bless us in such incredible ways. In every area of our life, spirit, soul, and body, as you give us the strength to live for you and to work for you and to bring our offerings into your storehouse with great joy and thanksgiving in our hearts. So we thank you for these gifts. Thank you for blessing them for the work of your kingdom and watching over this entire congregation each and every day in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. The children can come, please.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Boys and girls, get my place here in the Bible before I lose it. Good morning. Hello, anybody here?
Hi.
Good morning. Hi. Hi. Good to see you all. All righty, let's find a seat. Okay, good. Well, you see the pictures up there on the screen? Go ahead and just sit down, Jaden. Sit down. Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you about this. This was the first Good Friday that we ever had. How many crosses do you see?
Three.
Well, the one in the middle, who do you think that is? Jesus. That's Jesus, God's son, right? And then there are two others that are next to him. I'm going to tell you. Those, it tells us in the Bible, they were thieves. Like, they did something really, 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 really bad. And they, well, we're not, there says they're criminals, so that can mean they were robbers, or they were fighting against the Romans. They could be thieves, they stole things, yes. So anyway, those two were crucified next to Jesus. And I'm going to read to you this, where I'm going from, in Luke 23:39. Now look at this Bible. My goodness. It looks like it's what? Falling apart, right? This is Pastor Mike's Bible. Wow, he must have read this a lot, right? Mine don't quite look as bad as this one. Anyway, so Luke 23, it tells us here that one of the criminals hanging beside Jesus, he made fun of him. And you know, all the others that were around him, except for Jesus' followers and his mother, they all said to him, Jesus, if you're the king of the Jews, if you're the king, come down off of that cross. And they made fun of him. And one of these criminals, I'm going to name them, I named them Humble and Proud. Yeah. Humble and Proud. See, Proud was mad too. He was so mad. Jesus, if you can save everybody, save yourself. Then I'll believe in you. And that's kind of what the crowd said, right? They made fun of him. They mocked him. But the other one who I call Humble, he listened. And he believed. He believed that Jesus was who he said he was. That Jesus was the only way to heaven. He believed. He was humble. And you know what he said? All right, let me see. So the criminal that we call Proud said, so you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it. Save yourself and save us. But the other Humble criminal said, don't you fear God? He was talking to Proud. He said, don't you fear God even when you are dying? See, these two were criminals. They were being crucified for what they did wrong. Did Jesus do anything wrong? No, he did not. He did not. We deserve to die for our evil deeds, meaning whatever they had done wrong, they should die for that according to the law in Rome. We deserve to die for our evil deeds, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Who are they talking about? Jesus, right? Humble said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Like when you go to heaven, remember me. And you know what Jesus said? Anybody know?
No.
Anybody? Okay, he said this, I assure you today, that means it's going to be real today, you will be with me in paradise, or like heaven. You will be with me. Now, could those guys get themselves off the cross?
No,
they couldn't. Jesus could have, right? But he didn't, because he died in our place. He died in our place. So humble is the way that we should all be. We should all be humble and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And here's just a couple other quick things that we can learn from this. All of us have sinned, right? Everybody is a sinner. All of us, we ask Jesus to come into our lives. He washes our sins away, and we get the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. And that is cool, because then he leads you and he guides you. And we will have There a day will be when we will come into heaven too, right? Who made the right decision of the two on the cross? Humble or proud?
Humble.
Humble did, right? And that's just the way we have to do it. We all deserve death. We can do nothing to save ourselves, just like those two could not get off the crosses. Jesus died for everyone. And like our verse up there says, he's the only way to... Who's the only way to heaven?
Jesus.
Jesus is, yes. You know what? And you have to, there's just two places we're going to go to at the end, right? Heaven or hell, right? Heaven or hell.
What?
Whose choice? We can talk later, okay? Whose choice? It's our choice where we're going to go. Yes, Jesus gave us the way. He made the way. The devil's the one that lives in hell, okay? He wants us to do evil. God wants us to do good, but it's our choice. We have to accept him into our lives. Let's be like humble, okay? And let's live like humble did. Every day, from now on, us, and we have been doing that. You have been doing it, I know. Talk to Jesus, praise Jesus, read your Bible, all these things, okay? Yes. Good job. You read the Bible at night. That's awesome. That's okay. You can read it whenever, morning, noon, or night. Okay, that's great. And you can pray to him all the time. Okay? So remember about those thieves on the cross. One received eternal life in heaven. One received eternal life in hell. Okay? All right, let's pray. Ready? Fold your hands. Close your eyes. Lord, we just thank you so much for sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. We thank you, Lord, that you give us a free choice. Who will we choose to be like? Humble or proud? Let us all come with humble hearts and these boys and girls every day to love you, to look for you, to tell others about you. I ask that you bless these boys and girls this week and their families, and wherever they go, help them to shine for you. In Jesus' name we pray. We pray. Amen. Amen. Okay.
Okay, thank you, Anne. We're going to have special music this morning by Jennifer Schultz. It's called The Beautiful Terrible Cross. It is a beautiful song. Listen to the words closely.
A beautiful, terrible cross where though you committed no sin, Savior, you suffered the most wicked fate on the cruelest creation of man. Yet on that beautiful, terrible cross, you did what only you could. Turning that dark, inspired evil of hell into our soul's greatest good. We see the love that you showed us. We see the life that you lost. We bow in wonder and praise you for the beautiful, terrible cross. Terrible cross, the darkness was strong on that hill. You remained sovereign, Lord, still in control, as your perfect plan was fulfilled. We see the love that beautiful cross, for the beautiful, terrible cross.
Thank you, Jennifer, for the song, the beautiful song, and yes, very important words. Let's bow our heads in prayer once more, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cross. The beauty is what was accomplished there for our salvation, and yet the terribleness of it, of what Christ had to endure, as we will see more of even today through your word. Help us to never take it for granted. Help us to be forever grateful for the cross, as we've sung earlier. Help us to live our lives accordingly for the sacrifice that you gave for us. Thank you for your word this morning again, Lord. These times that we can gather, sit together and listen and learn. Help us to be doers of your word. Father, help me. I ask that you'd speak through me to those gathered here by your Spirit today, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been in Mark chapter 15, a large part of this Lenten season, this at least the fourth, fifth time that we have been. So verse 21 is where the reading starts. I'm going to read the last phrase of verse 20. It says, "Then they led him out to crucify him." Verse 21. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour. That'd be 9 o'clock in the morning, okay? It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he cannot save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Amen. All right, let's pick up here this morning. So we're looking through the last parts, I'll say parts of the last 24 hours before the cross, on the cross, 24 hours that changed the world, literally. We looked through the Jewish trial, the three phases of that. We looked through the Roman trial, the three phases of that. And last Wednesday, I want last Wednesday evening, I shared at the end of the message a testimony. I'm just going to read a little part of it, not the whole thing. Of this lady, Major Tammy Duckworth, she was a reservist that was called up to fight in Iraq in 2004. Her Black Hawk helicopter was struck by a rocket-propelled grenade that exploded at her feet, severing her legs and crushing her arms. It was a miracle that she lived. The part I'm not going to read would describe all that those on the helicopter did, I'll say it that way, to rescue her in enemy territory where it landed. So when, at the end of it, she was asked how she felt about the great risk of her fellow that her fellow soldiers took to save her. Let me say this. When they got her safety, she had lost half of the blood out of her body. It was amazing that she lived. She did live, has prosthetic legs, served in the Department of Veteran Affairs. So asked about the great risk her fellow soldiers took to save her, Major Duckworth replied, "You have to get up every day and seek to live in such a way as to be worthy of that kind of effort and sacrifice." That's talking on the natural side of things in the military. Where I read this, then it went on. It said, "That is the power of sacrificial love, and that is exactly what the cross of Christ is meant to inspire us to do. We are to look at the cross of Jesus and say, I have to strive to live in such a way as to be worthy of that sacrifice." Of course, can we ever perfectly do that? No, we cannot. Are we in ourselves worthy of it? No, we are not. But in Christ, He has made us, you, to be the righteousness of God in Christ. So in that sense, you are. That's how He sees you, as His child, robed and clothed in His righteousness. So I'm picking up today here with the message where the text begins. We're going to talk about these two lives that were transformed at the cross. Literally transformed by the power of God and Jesus, His sacrifice. So first is Simon. Simon from Cyrene. Starting verse 21, a certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus. There's some boys, well, Alexander we know. I don't know if I've really heard Rufus before, but I looked up in the Greek, and Rufus means red. So he was passing on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. Now, it is only Mark's gospel that gives the name of Simon's two boys, Alexander and Rufus. Mark and Luke, they tell the same account, but they don't give the boys' names. And there's a reason for that. Of course there is, because God inspired it, but I'm going to give you what I think is a good reason for it. So let's talk about this. From Calvary, where the cross was, from Pilate's palace to Calvary, they say, and was about a third of a mile. Third of a mile walk where Jesus was carrying that cross, at least partway there. It would have taken, they figure, in his weakened condition, because we know as we've been working through this, he had been beaten horribly already by this time. The crown of thorns had already been crushed down on his skull, been whipped beyond what we would ever even imagine. So in that weakened condition, at least 30 minutes, they figure, maybe longer. But they were pushing him along. They were whipping him along the way as he went. Now, most of the time in the movies we see today, typically you see him carrying the whole cross, right? As if you look into a lot of the commentaries and how the crucifixions and all were done at that time, and does it matter? I suppose it doesn't. But most believe it was probably the cross beam that he actually carried that day. That would have been well over 100 pounds itself, carrying that along, being whipped as you go. That the Romans did that as just one more act of humiliation and torture to the person that was going to be crucified. As I said Wednesday night, they were cruel. They were very cruel. So here, along, as we call it, the Via Dolorosa, the way of the agony, that's that walk. We walked it. Any of you that have been to Israel have walked it, I imagine. And so here's this guy, Simon from Cyrene. So where's Cyrene at anyway? It is a city in the country of Libya, and Libya is in northern Africa, all right? So here he's there. Historians say that at the time of Christ, there were estimated to be at least 100,000 Jewish people that lived in this city of Cyrene in the country of Libya. How did they all get there? Well, if you go back to about 200-300 years before the cross, there was a ruler at that time who exiled 100,000 of them or so, probably less, but they had multiplied, to Cyrene to get them out of Israel, just as punishment. So here he's there. Today, that city in Libya is called Shahat. It's near Tripoli. Some of you, and you think of World War II, if you study World War II, Tripoli was a big battle. The German and Italian army was together against the British and Australia and New Zealand, and the Allied forces won that battle at Tripoli, right near where Simon would have been from. So, why was Simon there? He was a Jewish man, a very devout Jewish man. He was traveling to Israel, probably with his family, for Passover, the Passover celebration. 1,123 miles. Aren't Google Maps just great? You can just... Okay. So, Northern Africa, Libya, you got to come. You're right along the Mediterranean Sea, coming right along the coast, through Egypt, up then into Israel, to Jerusalem. 1,123 miles. Think of that. So here's this guy, Simon, named in Scripture for us, along with his two boys. Mark's gospel names them Alexander and Rufus. Matthew and Luke do not. Why? Mark's gospel was written largely to a Gentile audience. More specifically, at the time, to the people of Rome and all of Italy. Okay? So you might think, so what? Well, I'm not going to tell you now. You got to hang on. And I'll tell you why, so what. That's a very important clue in all of this. It was written 36 years after the cross. Mark's gospel was. So let's go on a little further here. Simon, he's just there coming in from the country, the Bible says, probably minding his own business. What we don't know is how long before this day that we call Good Friday, how long did they arrive there? Don't know. But he was staying somewhere in the country, probably with his family. He's coming in, very likely with his Passover lamb. Just think about this. That there's the song we've had as a special different times before. Jay has done it, Watch the Lamb. That's what that's based on right here. Daddy, daddy, and the dad says, Watch the Lamb. Sorry. Makes me tear up thinking about it. When finally Jesus is on the cross and he says, Watch the Lamb. Because Jesus is the Lamb of God. So he's there minding his own business. And they grab him out of the crowd and force him to carry the cross. Whether it's the cross beam or the entire, it doesn't really matter. And apparently, he is so moved. I would hope so. He was a Jewish man, so he knew of the Messiah. Did he know of all the events prior? I'm sure as he got there to Jerusalem, the vicinity, he would hear reports of this guy, Jesus, who's claiming to be the Messiah. Did he believe yet? I would rather doubt it because most didn't, and especially him coming in from elsewhere, you know. That's just my hunch. But somewhere along the way, As he's there, you think of him seeing Jesus beaten and bloodied. Oh, let me read one more verse. Isaiah 52 talks about Isaiah 600 some years before is prophesying how Jesus would look, the Messiah, on this day. 52 verse 14. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form was so marred beyond human likeness. That's speaking ahead to Jesus at this time. And here's Simon, drug out of the crowd. The Romans, the soldiers, they're not going to give any choice. They just grab him, yank him over there. You, carry the cross. And so he does. And I just picture yourself in that place. And Jesus looks at you. And you're carrying that cross. Helping him along the rest of the way there. Was it that time when his eyes were open? Don't know yet. Was it? I imagine he stayed and watched the crucifixion. After all, he carried the cross there. Was it that? Was it the darkness at noonday that lasted for 3 hours? Was it the earthquake? Was it the curtain of the temple that was torn in two from top to bottom? He knew well about that curtain in that temple. Or was it maybe 50 days later? You say, 50 days later? Yeah, church historians tell us that often these pilgrims, the Jews that would come from other parts of the world at that time, they would stay there to take in both Passover feast and Pentecost. Remember, Pentecost was 50 days later. You think, wow, they'd stay that long? Well, how long do you think it'd take you to walk 1,123 miles to get there? I did the math. If you're going 50 miles a day on foot, which that'd be a pretty good day, that'd take you 22 days just to get there. So if you're going to travel 22 days, you're going to stay a while, I would think. And they did. He most likely did. Why do I bring up Pentecost? So let me back up. There's a blank. You're probably wondering. I just see I missed it. Simon encountered the living Christ somewhere along the way, and he was transformed. Why Pentecost? On that day of Pentecost, there were 120 believers in that upper room. Remember, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They come pouring out in the streets of Jerusalem, which was jam-packed with devout Jewish people. Believers in God, maybe not yet believers in Christ as Messiah. And what does it say when they come out and they're all speaking in other tongues? And it says that there were God-fearing Jews in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven. How is it that each of us hears them in our own native language, telling of the wonderful works of God? And listen to verse 10, Acts chapter 2. Verse 9 gives a bunch of countries. I'm not reading all of those. Verse 10, these countries, Phrygia, Pamphylia, here we go, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene. Simon, very likely was there 50 days later, okay? So how do we know that Simon accepted Christ as Messiah? I believe because if we look over to the book of Romans, that's why I told you the Gospel of Mark was written mainly to the Gentile people, believers in Rome. Romans 16, verse 13, when Paul is ending that letter, he's acknowledging several people by name. Greet so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. Verse 13, he says, and greet Rufus. Rufus? Why does he throw him in there? Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me also. The Apostle Paul says that. Isn't that incredible? Well, okay, there were many other Simons at that time. Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonah, Simon Alphaeus, son of Alphaeus, and on we could go. There were lots of Simons. So to bring it more specifically, because they didn't have last names, I forget who was asking me in confirmation not so long ago, well, what was so Jesus' last name? Well, he didn't have a last name, right? Jesus Christ, Christ is the Messiah. So they did by the son of. We saw that with Barabbas, okay? So that's why Rufus and Alexander are named. That is the only two times in Scripture we see the name Rufus is in Mark 15 and Romans 16:13. So I'd say it's pretty strong likelihood this is Simon's son. That's how we know that Simon and his wife and the two boys all came to know Christ as Messiah. Also, and I'm not going into this, but in the book of Acts later, there's reference to the church down there in that region of Libya. So Simon, as he came to know Christ and his family did, at some point they go back to Libya, probably start a church there. It grows, but at some point they end up in Rome serving the Lord, serving the church. In history, again, I don't have scripture other than this verse, 16:13. It is believed and documented historically that Rufus became a leader in the church of Rome. How amazing is that? And God would use him. That even, and Simon was probably dead when Romans 16 came about to be written. But Paul acknowledges his wife, Simon's wife, as being like a mother to him. Most likely we'd assume a mother in the faith. It just ties in so incredibly. Coming in from the country, again, that was not a random event, as nothing is with God. People say often, oh, I was just lucky. Oh, it was just luck. Not really. No. God is working. Just like God had that Roman soldier grab him out of that crowd and yank him in there, because God knew what his plan was for Simon of Cyrene and his family to serve the Lord. And so God works in our lives in these incredible ways that at most of the time we don't even realize when it's happening. The criminal on the cross, I got to go through. Whew, I got started later this morning, just FYI. I did. The criminal on the cross. So Mark's gospel, it doesn't tell us about the conversation between the two criminals. Only Luke's gospel tells us that. But here was another life transformed. I'll try and go through this quickly. They're both calling out ridicule and mocking Jesus at one point on that cross. Mark's gospel tells us that, and Matthew's gospel tells us that. I read it earlier. They're hurling these insults at him in the middle. And who was supposed to be on that middle cross anyway? Barabbas, thank you. Barabbas was supposed to be on that middle cross. And they're just mocking him. You think of it too, but this is just how the devil works. His hatred is so great. Here's these two guys. They are in their dying breath, in excruciating pain, nailed on that cross. And what are they using some of their last words to do? To mock the Savior of the world? But at some point, all of a sudden, God, in his sovereignty, starts doing a work in the guy, I'll just say on the right side, of Jesus. And he starts to realize, I think this guy really is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. The other criminal, verse 40, this is in Luke, I'm in Luke 23, just for a little bit. The other criminal rebuked the other one, it says. Talking around Jesus, right? Hey, don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are being punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. What's happening? This guy all of a sudden is seeing himself as his true condition, that he is lost and he is on his way to hell very soon if something doesn't happen here. Secondly, so first, he becomes aware of his own condition. I don't know if I said that. Secondly, he becomes very aware of who Jesus is and believes. Verse 42, Luke 23. This man has done nothing wrong. And then he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." What did I read for the offering? "Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," right? He's calling out to the Lord Jesus in his dying breath. He is not asking him to save him from physical death that he knows he deserves as a murderer, a rebel against Rome. That's why he's there. He's asking for salvation from spiritual death and eternity in hell. That's what he's calling. And he even seems to understand. This tells you, both of those guys with Jesus were probably Jewish men as well, rebelling against the Roman Empire. That's why they were nailed there. He knew Old Testament scripture. That's why he says to him, "And remember me when you come into your kingdom." We're still waiting for that. The return of Jesus Christ. Still waiting. Third point, what's Jesus' answer? "I tell you the truth." Why'd he say, "I tell you the truth"? Well, because this was a very shocking statement that he was going to say to that man who knew he deserved nothing but death as he was getting. It was going to be a shocking statement to all those Pharisees who were standing down below mocking him, to the Roman soldiers who were mocking him, who were gambling over his garments and everything else that was happening. "I tell you the truth," we'll say humble, and made that name today. "Today you will be with me in paradise." Today. And that was a life transformed right there. He didn't say, "You're just going to see me in paradise." He said, "You are going to be with me in heaven today." And that's the glory of heaven. Yes, we'll get to see Jesus in all of his glory. It'll be incredible. We don't just get to see him. We see lots of things on this earth, especially in this day and age which we live. I mean, lots of beautiful things. Just on our TV, on our phones, wherever. But to be with him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And you'll be able to talk to him. How incredible. You know what? The mockers were wrong. What were the mockers saying? "He saved others," they said, "but he cannot save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel," they're mocking him, "come down from the cross that we may see and believe." Really? You think they would have? They were so blinded. It wouldn't have happened anyway. Jesus knew it. Listen to this. Here's their last two blanks. The only way Jesus could save others was to not save himself coming down off that cross. The only way he could save others is to not save himself. Praise the Lord. Amen. Simon, let's just real quick. Simon, coming to know the Lord at whatever younger age in his life, was blessed to live however many years God gave him. Blessed to see his wife come to know the Lord, his boys, maybe grandchildren, we don't know. Blessed to help start a church in his home country. Blessed to go to Rome and see his son become a leader in the early church. Wow. And the criminal on the cross, blessed to go to heaven, but missed out on all his years on the earth of walking and knowing God as his Father. But yes, in heaven, yes, absolutely. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy. We think of this criminal on the cross so often, your incredible mercy and grace. And Lord, I'd venture to say that many of us seated here today probably know of someone well who called out to you in their dying breath. And you saved them. You saved them. Thank you for that. And Lord, help us as we try to live for you every day, our lives worthy of the sacrifice that took place on the cross. And by chance, if there are any here this morning who don't know you, that you would reach down and do a work in their hearts and lives and minds and open the eyes of their understanding to call out to you today at the cross where I first saw the light. The burden of my sin was rolled away. Thank you for this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. At the cross, we will sing 323. Let's stand together, please. What? Did I say the wrong number? Oh, sorry. Yeah. Thank you, Cheryl. Keep me on my toes. Verses 1, 2, 3, and 5. Thank you. Okay. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? He devotes that sacred head for sinners such as I. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, but the mighty Maker died for man. Okay. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And technology, yes, sometimes it just acts its own way. We thank God for all of our sound crew that work faithfully every service and funerals and weddings and beyond. God bless you all for doing that. Please receive the benediction. May the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. We'll sing as a prayer for our nation. God bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. Amen. That's so beautiful. You can be seated, please. Thank you, Cheryl, for the wonderful music. And have a great afternoon tonight, FCA banquet, if you want to come join us. Women of the Church meeting, yes.